Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk to you just briefly this morning about unthinkable. I'm going to read a scripture to you, and then I'm going to show you about a two-minute video, and then I'm going to share some thoughts from this passage. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, chapter 5, Luke 5, verse 1. What's interesting, he was not reading from the New Testament. He was quoting Torah. That's a whole other story. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little while from the land. He got into the life where that non-believer was living. He got into their boat. Isn't that amazing? And he sat down and began to teach the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, which is Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, Rabbi, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. Now, Luke, I'm sure, did not add some of the other things that were said there. And we'll get into that in a moment. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners on the other, in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not fear. From now on you'll be catching men. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, most of you think I'm going to talk to you this morning about evangelism and winning the lost. I'm not going anywhere there today. Here's my question. What in 2014, if you could do it, anything that was unthinkable you could do, I would tell you this morning, you could do. What would you write down for this date, on this day, January 12th, 2014, the unthinkable? Watch this video, and then I'm going to parse this text a little bit with you.
The first step of being able to do the unthinkable is to actually have a dream. But my dreams were dashed when I was 18 years old and I was sitting on the back of a pickup truck and an 18-wheeler passed us from behind and I got knocked off the back of the truck and I literally bounced up and down the road over 324 feet on the pavement. I had my right leg removed that day, July 23rd, 1986. And then over the course of 12 years, I'd had 26 surgeries until I chose to remove my left leg below the knee. Even though I'd been saved miraculously from this catastrophic event in my life, I had no vision for my life. And in my desperation, I cried out to God and I asked Him, I said, I'll make you a deal. If you will open up a door for me, then I will run through it. Well, obviously, be careful what you pray for.
to bring to the stage, Scott Rigby.
Living in fear for 20 years was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was a greater disability to me than having two prosthetic legs. Meters into the swim, I get kicked in the eye by somebody's heel, and my eye completely closes shut. So I'm swimming with one eye and no legs, and so I don't even. The dictionary may come up with a term, but that's what I was. Each one of us has a finish line. Do the unthinkable and change your world.
Debbie and I, Friday in Jackson, Mississippi, at our annual kickoff for the business that I'm in with a company called Aflac, he was a keynote speaker. And he spent about an hour and a half sharing his testimony. He's a born-again believer. He wasn't, but in the journey he became desperate and battled all kinds of odds. And as I was listening to him that Friday morning this week, just a couple days ago, speak, the Lord began to turn in my heart this passage about telling Peter and John and James to cast nets into the other side of the boat and cast out into the deep. And I begin to think of Scott, what he was trying to accomplish, would you agree with me, was deep. I mean, if you're going to go out somewhere and accomplish something and it's deep, that means you have no control over it. You are only in the water because you had some faith and a vision and a dream. And so this conversation that Jesus is having in the boat. And if Jesus asked me or you to cast your nets on the other side and cast them out in the deep, wouldn't you agree with me? I would want Jesus in my boat. Jesus was in the boat. He didn't stand on the shore and say, go do this dream. He got in the dream itself. And if you're going to accomplish something that is unthinkable in your life, you've got to allow Jesus to be in the unthinkable. Okay? So number one, you got to have a dream in 2014 to do something unthinkable. I mean, it is, there's no way that it can be accomplished, but it's in your know or your gut, and you know you've got to start somewhere. Verse 4, Jesus said two things. Put out into the deep water and put your nets on the other side. Now the conversation, if I was there, if I was Peter, would be like, yes, master, I understand what you're saying, but you're the rabbi, I'm the fisherman. I know this business. It was my dad's business. It was his dad's business. I can do this business with my eyes closed and hands behind my back. I know this business. We have fished all night and have caught nothing. You go ahead and teach your Torah, and I'll keep fishing. I know my life. There's no way that will be happening in my life. But yet there was something that impacted Simon, and he did it. And I think it was that Jesus got in the boat. So number one, if you're going to do something that's unthinkable in 2014, you got to have a dream. Start a business, graduate, get out of debt. Double your business, triple your business. Recovery from an addictive behavior. lose weight, start a ministry, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. I mean, all these things can be accomplished in 2014. What is it that you have always wanted to do but never did it, and it would be unthinkable if you could do it in 2014? I lead about 20 different insurance agents and try to motivate them each week. Because if they make money, I make money. And if they don't make money, I'm hurting. And so I showed them this video a couple weeks ago before Christmas on goal setting. Do you know that it is proven scientifically, if you write down your goals, that you will be 1,000 times more successful than those that don't? 1,000 times more successful by just writing down your goals. What is that weight you want to be at? Put it on stickers, post-it notes, on your dashboard, on your mirror, on your refrigerator. That's a good place to put it. At the cupboard where the potato chips are. In the mirror in the bathroom, which says, I can do all things with Christ Jesus. When you're standing there stripped naked in your birthday suit, I am going to reach this goal. I'm just having fun with you. But places, okay, places. Move on. I've gone to Medlin, right? Go out into the deep. You know, Scott said in his testimony, he said, he was at the place of suicide on the floor one Christmas day, sobbing gutturally like a baby. Had no idea what he was going to do. He was 30 years old. And he prayed that prayer, God, I don't know what to do. He's ready to kill himself. Open a door. And he saw this Iron Man, which an Iron Man race, you have to be in Hawaii at the Iron Man race, you have to be invited, but there's different races throughout the year you have to go to and qualify for. And I think it's like 2.5 or 3 mile swim. It's 112 miles biking and then 26.5 marathon. And in Hawaii, the island they do it on, the winds are so strong. He said the winds are so strong. When you're pedaling your bike against the wind, you can barely even go. The winds are coming against your chest. If you're not pedaling, it'll blow you off your bike. And so he went to his friends. He got this thought, I'm going to do an Ironman. A W amputee now. And so he calls his friends up that week, the first week in January, and he says, I'm going to run in the Hawaii Ironman contest. I'm going to compete in it. And they said, what do you got to do? And he said, well, you got to swim 2.5 miles. And he looked at him and said, Scott, you can't swim. You don't have legs. How are you going to ride a bike? You've never ridden a bike in your life. How are you going to do it now? Let me tell you something. When you begin to have a dream and you cast out into the deep, your family and your best friends are going to tell you can't. Why would you leave that comfort of what you know to do something that's ridiculous? It's unthinkable. Because God got in my boat. Because Jesus is sitting at my table and he's saying, this year you can do it. Yeah. Unthinkable. Unthinkable. You don't understand. I've gone through a divorce. I got a second generation of kids. I've got kids growing. Now I'm raising kids. You don't understand. I've gone from job to job. I didn't finish my education. You don't understand. All the excuses. There's two instructions Jesus gave Simon that day and put out into the deep. And cast your nets on the other side. That brings us to number two. Verse 10 says, do not fear. You have to move past fear and move to faith. I remember the day that I told Debbie I felt like we were supposed to retire from pastor ministry and go into the business community, and I told her who felt like I was supposed to work for. And I remember that day. She said, how are you going to get paid? I said, commission only. She said, how are we going to pay the bills? I said, God said commission only. We never look back at what God has done in our lives. It's amazing. The team that I lead did $2.3 million in sales last year. And I set a goal this year for $3 million. Unthinkable. Yeah, that's what people that have been in business for 17, 18, 20 years do. I haven't reached my third year anniversary yet. I think 3 years, $3 million is pretty cool, isn't it? All for the glory of God. You got to get past the fear. You got to get past the fear. To do that, you've actually got to start today. You got to start networking with churches to talk to them who've supported missions for years the old way, that you have a new way, not throwing out the baby with the bathwater, but we are not going in there to be the missionary. We're going in there to help raise up the church in the indigenous countries. It's easy to have a dream. It'd be nice to stay at home with your wife and, what is Duke, 8, 9 months old? 7 months. You've got to start sometime, and can I tell you this? Once you start, all hell will break loose. Scott tells, Rigby tells of how his first race, his prosthetics didn't fit. And in the middle of the race, or the first 10 miles, he felt like his whole part of the socks that he was wearing to cover his amputees were like water. And he stopped and he got out and he got them off and he squeezed. He thought water was blood. He said his prosthetics, he says, like wearing a size 13 shoe, you're a size 11, you wear a size 13 shoe. So he said, I just put on more socks to cover. And he said, my stubs, the end of my legs were like meat. He said, what are you going to do, quit? He said, I had a dream. He said, if I didn't finish this race, I couldn't qualify for the next race. The one of the bicycle races, the first bicycle race that he rode to qualify for the bicycle part of the event. He said he was doing real well. Going lead, he spent about the 11th mile, I think he said 10th, 11th mile. His chain locked up and he went head over heels. Of course, they have medics and, you know, the EMTs and everything, and he got back on his bike and he said, I felt awful. Felt awful. He said, I finished the bicycle part of it and started running. And he said, I couldn't explain it. The pain was too bad. And he said, I ran for a while in the running part of it. And finally, one of my coaches came by and said, you know what? You need to stop. You need to get checked out. He just said, if you could do something and be injured in such a way that if you don't stop now, you won't get to accomplish what your dream is. So there's sometimes we have roadblocks. Sometimes we have detours. Found out he had broken his back in that fall with the bicycle. He had to wait another 6 months before he could even start training again. He said he didn't get the award that day, but that next day in the hotel, he was in a wheelchair, and he said they all applauded him for his effort. He said, don't quit. How many times have we had people say, quit? It's too hard. Rather than saying, you know what? Don't give up. Don't give up. Well, you don't understand. Number three. If you're going to do the unthinkable, you've got to get the right people around you. Oh, man. I got this young kid that I've hired and hired him. He came to work for us in the last 2 weeks of December, and those are the worst 2 weeks for insurance sales because nobody wants to buy insurance in Christmas and New Year's. In fact, it'd be a great gift to give to your family, in fact, to bless them with some freedom of mind or choice, something happened to us. And so I said, how's it going? He said, well, I think I'm going to quit. I said, why? He said, because my family says I'm not making any money and it's not worth it. I said, well, you started at the worst possible time you could during Christmas and New Year's. I said, let me tell you something. The top three income producing people in America are doctors, lawyers, and commission-only salespeople. Listen to this. Everybody wants commission with some kind of base pay. Do you know where they are at on that level? Base pay and commission are way down. They're not even the top 10 in income producing. Because it's easy just to do enough. Just enough. You've got to get the right people around you. It says in Deuteronomy 11:1 that God wants to bless the children of Israel 1,000 times more. Can you get that in your spirit 1,000 times more? Not sevenfold, not fourfold, but 1,000 times more? Not me. I'm like Gideon. You looking at me, God? You don't know the family I've come from. My dad is an idol worshiper. In fact, when Gideon got so blessed, what did they do? They went in and destroyed the idols. His dad was a part of that. You got to get the right people around you, and you got to stop listening to the naysayers and all those that are negative. I can't. I won't. It's amazing to me. Listen, can't is a very dangerous thing to have in your vocabulary. I wrote some thoughts here. Can't always happens to me. No, it doesn't. Never. I could never do that. Be careful because you're speaking your destiny. Let me tell you something real funny. When Michael was leading worship this morning, I leaned over to Debbie and said, tell me, remind me the story of when he was in high school and it was Sunday afternoon and the youth pastor wanted to start a worship team to do worship for the youth group. Debbie went in to wake him up from a Sunday afternoon nap and he wouldn't get up. So she took her finger and twisted his ear and said, Jason Michael Lehman, get up. You are a Davidic worshiper and you will lead nations in worship. Get over there and help the youth pastor. And you know what his response was? Well, he's about 15. His response was, I can't sing and I don't play any instruments. That's what he said when he was 15. Now, I was laughing this morning thinking, you know what, if Debbie, my wife, his mother, would have said, "You're right, you don't play instruments, you don't sing, just go back to sleep." What would have happened? He didn't play an instrument. We bought him a guitar. He got around musicians. He started hanging out with people that were more talented and gifted. By the time he was 16 years of age and 17, they were traveling our youth band that we didn't have. They were traveling all over the country leading worship for youth conferences and youth revivals and all kinds of stuff. To where literally his senior year in high school, he went through homeschooling so he could meet all the demands of traveling. But at 15, he didn't play an instrument. He couldn't sing. I can't do that. Who says you can't? Who says you can't? Are y'all getting this? I'm hoping the Holy Spirit is saying unthinkable, unthinkable. Number four, I said, become the person of your dream. Start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You got to take a step of faith. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish, there's nothing evil about wanting to be a multimillionaire. There's nothing evil about wanting to be able to be so wealthy that you live on 10% and you give 90% away. Come on now. See, it used to be, I was raised in a generation, if you really were somebody, you were called to full-time Christian ministry, and you would be on Charisma and TBN, and you'd have this worldwide ministry and have a jet and blah, blah, and it was a bunch of lies from the enemy. I can be just as successful in God's eyes, according to his will, in business or in education or whatever. Just do it. Just do it. Just start by faith and do it. What is in your heart? What dream have you wanted to do and never accomplished, never got it started because you were afraid to will and willing to step by faith? Number four. I think I just said it. Number five. Are y'all with me? Embrace the journey. Verse 11, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Embrace it. You're destined and purpose. God has already planned for you. I've said this for years. Y'all laugh at me, but be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't who you is. I mean, God created you like you. How do you? Just do it. Embrace it. Go after it. There's a guy by the name of David Brown. He has set the world records in door-to-door sales. He now is a very successful multimillionaire in Nashville, Tennessee. He went to Trinity University in Chicago, where he was an all-American athlete in the sport of volleyball. He was not the spiker, he was the setter. He was for 3 years in college an all-American first team athlete in setting the volleyball up for the spiker to do the kill. Doesn't sound like a very highfalutin kind of all-American award, but without the setter, the spiker's not going to spike. Every year, he worked for Southwestern Company, which is, you know them by, selling children's books, encyclopedias, and Bibles door to door. He has knocked on over, Chris, 100,000 doors in his career. Cold calls, not knowing anybody, and became a record setter in sales for that company. You know what he said? I was not motivated by the money. I was not motivated by the awards. Star, listen to this. He said, what motivated me was I wanted to be the one that got the most no's. Because I figured out in sales that it was an average of how many times you knocked on the door, how much money you made. And he said, I figured if I got the most no's in the nation, it's again in his book of record, I think he told us, of the most no's of any salesperson, I was going to make more money than most salespeople. Now he has a multi-million dollar business in Nashville. And he's a born-again believer, and he travels all over the country talking about the dream and the unthinkable. I listened to that the other day, and I went, that is so cool. He was motivated by the negative. Just go out and get more no's. Just go out and see more people that say, you can't, you won't. Because you're looking at someone who is a champion. How many times have you been knocked down? How many times have you wanted to and said, no, the timing's not right? A lot of times we prophetically say we're waiting for the right season. God said, you're in the season. I am the season. Why would you wait for another season? I'm in your season. Now is the time. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. I think I'm speaking better than you're receiving, but so. Listen to this quote. If you don't help people notice you, then they can never give you an opportunity to say no. And most of the time, listen to this, no is not no. For them, it's not now. You got to make people notice you. Then I love this quote. It's hard to be nervous about your future and the focus of your dream when you're serving people. It's hard to be nervous about your focus and your dream when you're serving people. Because when you're serving people, you don't need to get nervous. You have a dream. Unthinkable year. Unthinkable year. You have a dream. You don't understand, I'm single. I'm divorced. I have nobody to help me. Oh, yes you do. Jesus is in your boat. You know what my new dream is? This is crazy. I want to start a cowboy church. I want to go preach to people in the arena where there's horse and cow manure, and talk to them about how good God is and how he loves them even while they're working with their horses and animals. I even knocked on that door in December. There is a whole culture of people, all they do on Sunday is have barrel races and calf roping. And I know one of them, and I said, hey, do y'all need a chaplain? I don't know where that's going. I don't know if Debbie will go there with me. But I have a dream. You know what? I used to not wear cowboy boots and a nice brass buckle. But I'm going to walk in my dream, so I'm starting dressing like it. Because you know what? You don't dress from where you've been. You dress for where you're going. Most people are still dressed where they've been. Oh, praise God. Listen to this last quote. Cinderella. Fairy godmother said this to Cinderella. Sooner or later, you have to fight for your dreams. Are they not yours after all? That's not very spiritual, is it? Fairy godmother. Well, we don't even believe in fairies. Oh, shut up. It's just an illustration, okay? You religious fool. I can't believe he used that in a sermon, the fairy godmother. Oh, well. Sooner or later, you have to fight for your dreams, or they are not yours after all. Have a dream. 2014 is a great year for it. Hey, I've not even mentioned the Hebrew side of this. And the Hebrew thought that this is all about for this year. Do you know that? I'm going to mention it. I shouldn't have said that. 2014 is the year of deliverance. The Hebrew number 2014 is a picture of double deliverance. Unthinkable year. You got to have a dream. Number two, move past fear and move into faith. Number three, get around right people. Number four, become the person of your dream. Take the step of faith. That's the one thing Scott said was, he said, you know what? Part of my journey and the pain of my journey, because he was addicted. One of the things that he said was he was addicted to painkillers because of all of his surgeries. He had to deal with the addiction. He said part of the process is you've got to become the person of the dream. He was a mile away from the end of the Boston Marathon finish line when the bombs went off in 2013. He was running as a W amputee, and he was running for the wounded warriors, the men and women who've lost their limbs and eyes and have traumatic brain injury because of Afghanistan and Iraq. He said the policeman came to us and said, there's been bombs go off. You cannot finish the race. What a bummer. I've got these prosthetics on and I'm doing it for a cause and I still can't finish the race. You know what happened was? The people who lost their limbs in the bombs. He now has started a foundation not only for the wounded warriors, but for all types of people to help them win their race. And he's going back in 2014 to the Boston Marathon, and he's able to raise money to help them and their families deal with the loss of limbs. Stand with me. You need to take a step of faith today. And you need Holy Spirit like Debbie Lehman to come and twist your ear and get you out of bed. And say, get up out of bed. Get up out of your slumber. Get up out of your pity party. And move into your destiny. But you don't understand. I don't even own a bank account. My bank account's overdrawn. I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. So? I'm not even married. I'm a I've been fired from so many jobs. I don't even have a driver's license. What in your heart has God placed as unthinkable? Would you be willing to take a step of faith and start? I'm not going to ask you to move out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but just, you know who you are. All the religious will say, come, and we got baskets up here, and put a seed offering in for your unthinkable year. Isn't God good? Now, I know I'm making fun of who we are. All God wants you to do is let him in your boat. You know, if Jesus is in my boat, all fear will flee. Can I, is the worship team back? Are they all here? Maybe not. Okay. Just come up and start playing something, Michael. Let's just bow your heads for a moment. There is a brooding here right now. It's been here all day. It's the Bible says that in Genesis, the Spirit of God brooded over the earth. What was he brooding? Not because he was angry or upset. Oh, this darkness, what are we going to do with it? What was he brooding over? He was getting ready to create. Whew, that just came from God. He's brooding over us this morning with his love. Because he's getting ready to create something. God doesn't make new things. He makes all things new. So just for a moment, would you let him create into you the unthinkable?